Hi, my name is Hans Peter Meyer, and I'm the host of the Men's Work Podcast, where you'll find interviews with men and with women. You'll find yoga classes, you'll find reflections, you'll find a lot of material to hopefully help you move through the tests that life has handed you: end of marriage, loss of job, marital relationship stress, fatherhood, just being overwhelmed. It's a lot. So listen, if you need to talk, I've got no charge mini coaching sessions at menswork.ca. Enjoy the show.
So welcome to another edition of Men's Work. Today the second time we're talking about this great topic. I don't want to fuck if I can't feel your love. Tonight I'm joined by Amsong, who you can see on screen with me here, and also by Melissa Bloxham. And both Melissa and Amsong are men's sex coaches. I'm actually going to read something here to start the ball rolling, and then I'm going to turn it over to Amsong and Melissa to talk a bit about how the work that they do relates to this question. I'll have some questions perhaps for them, and then we'll open it up for your questions. Let me just get started with this passage from a book called Sexual Reflexology by Montauk Chia, Activating the Taoist Points of Love. And there's a preliminary chapter here on male and female energy that, whether you take this literally or metaphorically, I think I found it really helpful. In cultivating sexual energy, men learn to control ejaculation and achieve, next paragraph. Emotionally, women are like fire and men are like water. It is very easy for women to express their emotions, to get excited, to cry, and to feel. For men, it is more challenging to be in touch with the heart center. This is how men and women balance emotionally and sexually. Women open and heat the emotional center or the heart center in men, and men help open or bring fire into the sexual center for women. The goal of the Taoist practice is to create this harmonious and flowing exchange of energy. This is revealed physically by the fact that men project from the sexual center, our penis, and women project from the heart center, their breasts. Projection is the yang or the fire quality of energy. This demonstrates that women are yang emotionally and men are yang sexually. These physical features reveal the energetic and emotional nature of men and women. And I just also want to add that this topic keeps coming up in my life, this topic of I don't want to fuck if I don't feel your love. I've actually never had a woman express it in that way to me before, but what I have experienced, and as I was saying earlier, in my four experiences in long and midterm relationship have all had a similar pattern of initially there's this wonderful explosion of sexual energy, which is my focus in the beginning of relationships. And then I feel like, wow, like I've met somebody who wants to have sex as much as I do. And then at some point things change, often really abruptly actually. And I'm kind of like scratching my head, like, what happened? And the relationship goes on sometimes for years and years and years, and it ends. I start a new relationship and I go, oh, I found somebody who wants to have sex as much as I do. And that's, you know, if I'm lucky, that lasts for a couple of years. Sometimes I'm not so lucky. And then there's this period of, you know, what I call, and not just me, but the dead zone of the relationship. And what I watch is that lots of people, when they hit that place, they decide that's the end. And you know, I've gone through those things and it hasn't been the end, but it has been a changing of sexual energies. And then when that relationship has ended, then I start this whole thing over again. So I've done this four times now, and And I'm really interested in this problem. We mentioned, or somebody, one of us mentioned earlier, like, how do we, or my interpretation was, how do we extend this, you know, that honeymoon or romance or that sexually charged time? And I think it's more an issue of recognizing that in our initial attraction, there's lots of that heart and sexual energy. And then we get to places where we have to acknowledge that we're really different. And then how do we, certainly from the male perspective, I'm interested in how do I learn to, you know, bring my fire to her water, and instead of demanding or expecting it, but actually putting it back on me to, how do I open you? How do I serve you? And then it becomes like it's not just about me wanting sex, although that's often the motivation. But that then takes me into deeper places in myself. So I see the dead zone and this end of the romantic sexual flowering as actually being, for me, an important part of the relationship. So that's my long preamble. Amsong, you had something you were going to read or talk about? And
yeah, I could. But I also want to just kind of acknowledge what you just said, which is, I think one of the real beauties is being in that long-term relationship aspect is really learning how to celebrate in each other's differences. It's that, you know, recognizing that, yeah, women, we, our chest, our breasts, our heart is our fire. And for men, it's your penis. And how do we work to support that? How do we work to really work with that instead of going to these places of resenting our differences? Because that's so often what happens. So I'll read this. I can't fuck if I don't feel safe. It can be easy to get attached to this image of fast, explosive sex, especially with porn educating our sexuality, filling most people's minds that this is what good sex looks like. And if it's not like that, then clearly there is something wrong. The thing about this kind of sex is, if you haven't created a foundation of safety and love, it will probably trigger past trauma or cause trauma. Notice, where is your sex drive conditioned and automated? Women are sensitive and feel when you go into automation. And this was just kind of like a rendition of me. I want you to look into my eyes and feel me. I want you to explore my body. My entire body is sensitive and desires to feel pleasure. Please don't just play with my breasts and lick my pussy and then enter me. Gross. If I was opening, I will shut down, or maybe I'll go into it, not honoring myself, and then become resentful. I will lose interest in sex because sex is disappointing. This happens a lot. Sex can be fulfilling and blissful, or disappointing and traumatic. By slowing down and opening to the entire body, slowing down and listening to her, to yourself, you get to open the door to incredible sexual intimacy and exquisite sex, where with proper communication, there's space to explore all aspects of sex, slow, fast, hard, bondage, kink, etc., without hurting each other. Instead, it can deepen your intimacy and bring you both closer together.
Beautiful.
Thank you.
Thanks.
Do you want to add anything to that?
I would just add there's this real beauty when we can learn how to listen and take away that the automation and that thinking that it's supposed to be a certain way, and really deepen and explore that foundation of what our differences are, learn what our differences are, learn how to celebrate them instead of falling into the patterns of resenting each other for our differences. And falling into that thing of like, I need sex or I need love. Mm-hmm. It's like, well, no, let's come together and explore this, because we all need sex. We all need love. And heal those wounds so that you can really flourish and thrive within that.
Okay.
Yeah.
Thank you.
Thank you. Mm-hmm.
Melissa.
Hi.
You got 45 note cards, you said, right?
Well, I guess I have one sort of question for Aung San and you as well.
Yeah.
Maybe just to define what it actually means for men. Like, what does that mean? I need to feel you or feel your love. Because I think men are really confused. They're like, do I share my feelings? Do I not share my feelings? Like hashtag me too. There's just so much going on that men are so like just going to the safest, which is don't share anything, don't talk about it. So maybe you can define like what you mean by I need to feel you.
Yeah. Yeah, there's a lot in this one, Melissa, because again, there's a lot of women out there that don't want a man's feelings or aren't ready for a man's feelings. And that's where it gets so confusing.
Mm-hmm.
Because ideally, she is ready to hear his feelings. Because, you know, for me, I want to hear my man's feelings and want to hear men's feelings, because that, and then we get to share our feelings and share our love and share our sexual interests and life together fully. But yeah, that gets very confusing, because it's true. A lot of women just aren't ready. Mm-hmm. There's still that deep story that if a man shares his feelings, he's not strong. And, you know, one of my deep passions is that vulnerability is our greatest strength. And that's what really creates deep intimacy.
Mm-hmm.
And then in that sense of in feeling, it's really for him to be able to notice that if
we're trying to model correct beer, like, you know, laughter, you know, you're being hard on us doesn't help, okay?
Exactly. And so it really is noticing, okay, so if I'm the man and I'm touching my woman, like, how is she responding? Is she flinching? Is she being receptive? If I touch her, does she soften? Mm-hmm. Like, now Hans's whole body is relaxed. And that's that really being it. But if instead, yeah, he goes rigid, then it's like, okay, what's going on? And then opening up to maybe verbalizing or just shifting, look for him to look inside and go, okay, what's going on in here that might be causing her stress? Am I all wound up? And mm-hmm. can I breathe and soften in myself to be able to be more present to feel and mm-hmm. to be? Does that make sense?
Yeah.
What I would, you know, well, I think verbalizing what we feel is different than feeling.
Yeah.
So lots of us guys don't even know what we're feeling because we haven't learned as most women have growing up, which a lot of it's relational play, where you're actually practicing talking about feelings. Most of your, you know, like your socialization and how you play and how you are naturally, but certainly how you've been taught is to learn to express feelings through words. And for most of us guys, we don't play like that. We don't learn that. Mm-hmm. But that doesn't mean we don't feel. So, mm-hmm. you know, a lot of what I have learned, so up until, you know, a few years ago, most of what I'd learned about how to express what I feel had to do with talking. Mm-hmm. And as soon as I talk, I'm in my head.
Yeah.
And as soon as I talk to you, I'm pulling you into your head. And we can have this really wonderful experience up here, but it's not, it may not do anything to your heart or your pussy.
Until you make me laugh.
Right. So, you know, we learn that. We learn that, you know, you like when we make jokes and stuff like that. But that also becomes a way of protection because you still don't know how, what I'm feeling if I'm making jokes, right? Mm-hmm. So what I've learned, you know, in the last few years is how to be in my, just, I don't have to know what the feelings are, but just to be in my body and to become still in that and to open that up, sort of soften the front of my body so that you can feel me. Because whether I give you the words or not, if I'm maintaining eye contact with you and I'm paying attention to you and I'm open, you will start to feel me and what I'm feeling.
Mm-hmm.
In fact, even if I don't do that, you'll feel me. If I'm rigid and closed, you will feel me. So my interpretation of this, and this title came out of an earlier one, which was, you know, much more graphic. I don't want you to stick your dick in my pussy.
Yeah.
And that doesn't mean that I need to have a bunch of words, because my words can be full of shit. Mm-hmm. And you can see that I'm either in my head and I'm manipulating, you know, that I'm not actually feeling this warm heart thing that you need, that you want to fully open, and that really I want, but I don't know that.
Mm.
So a lot of the practice that I do for myself, but also with the guys I work with, is, it doesn't have so much to do with talking about it, because that just becomes part of the mental story that we can easily flip into, or the mental manipulation stuff. It's to actually, like, okay, what is my body feeling right now? How do I become like still enough so that I can, I don't have to put words on it, but just open my heart and open my belly and let that stuff move.
Mm-hmm.
And I think this is, you know, a big one for us, certainly for me, has been to then trust that you're not going to use my, because, and this is an interesting thing that I'm going to go into in the next few weeks in terms of some of this other conversation, but I am built to be protective and defensive. Like that's what I learned to do in play, but that's also how my body is just there to do this thing. And mm-hmm. so I have to really trust myself to that I'm not going to die. No one's going to die if I show you how soft my belly and my heart can be. And that's when, you know, in my experience, when I can do that, then I experience women opening in really beautiful ways. You know, I'm not trying to seduce somebody. I am trying to feel your vulnerability because I find it beautiful. I find it really,
mm-hmm.
really sexy. But that's me now. You know, I'm 62 years old. I've had these four significant relationship experiences, and I want to do something different now. I think one of the other factors that I see big time is men. You said it earlier, like, we all need love, we all need sex. Well, I'm not sure if we, I mean, love is, I believe that love is all around us. It's whether I can actually open up to receive it. Mm-hmm. sex is, I'm not sure, is something I need. It's something, it's a relationship or a way of being with somebody that I want. But again, I'm not going to die if I don't have sex. Lots of people have really beautiful lives and they don't have sex. I want my life to have a different kind of sex now than I did when I was 20 or 30 or when I was 40, actually, was when I started to ask these questions about what kind of sex I wanted. And I think it was the first time that I actually thought about this idea of that sex could be sacred. I had no idea what that meant. And I'm just starting to really understand what that might mean for myself now. And that's really why I host these conversations, because, well, I want to hear from you, you know, I want to hear from you, and I want to hear from you. And I want to hear how you answer questions of other men. But mostly I want to learn more about how you know, we talked about it just before the show. We talked about how, you know, when does, I referenced a teacher who said to us as men, if we want to have sex with our partner, we need to start foreplay 72 hours before. And then I think, Melissa, you said you need to start foreplay right after the last orgasm. Yeah. And then I think you know, Aung San said it never ends. And that's a scary prospect for us as men, because it just feels like a lot of work.
Yeah. Yeah, you guys already have sort of heavy duty jobs or heavy thinking jobs to come home.
So much to do. So much responsibility.
So then to have to actually like be pouring in energy is like, oh God, like, do I really have to do this? Can't you just like have sex with me right now?
Exactly. Because I need it. Mm-hmm. I have an erection. I need to do something about it right now.
Well, I think to sort of expand on your topic there about sacred sex, I think it's important to emphasize just how vulnerable it is for a woman and how risky it is to actually have sex. Like each sexual encounter for her is a matter of life and death. Like literally. So every time she opens her legs is she's saying, I trust you, because one, you could kill me. Two, I could get pregnant, which could kill me. And three, I could bring that pregnancy full term and I would have to take care of that baby all by myself for however many years, you know? So the implications of sex for a woman each time is huge. And for a man, it's, I mean, there's huge. Maybe STDs, right. But yeah, it's like basically just an orgasm.
Mm-hmm. Well said, Melissa.
Mm-hmm. Well, that threw a lot of cold water on that.
And I share that just to make men understand, like, how much she actually is opening to you just in the act of sex, you know, like that's a big deal. And just to honor that, you know, just to like look at it and be like, wow, that's, thank you for trusting me, and just recognizing that vulnerability and the risk factor for her, I think in itself would open her even more. Like that would be like even a good way to open her, is to recognize that part.
And recognizing that and wanting to, like, just the wanting to, like, to make sure that you're not, for me, to be really clear that this is not instrumental reason, that I'm not, it's not part of my manipulation. And that's for the practice of like me being really staying connected with you, breathing, keeping the front of my body soft, and just really paying attention to that, like, you know, what you did earlier, what, like, you know, touching my arm. I mean, in the same way, it's paying attention to, like, oh, where am I closing?
Mm-hmm.
And not necessarily needing to talk about that, but at least say, oh, I'm closing here, and not having to have an explanation, just because she can, you know, like, women just know so much more about what's happening in our bodies than we even know.
Mm-hmm.
So I think one of the first things for me to do is just want to acknowledge that. And that every time I do anything and in the back of my mind is, oh, she likes this, she might fuck me. She's gonna feel that.
Mm-hmm.
So I have all this training to do on myself before I, and this is especially after, you know, after you've been together for 2 or 3 years, because then it's, you know, she'll know everything that I do. She'll know me inside out. And then it's time for me to start knowing myself inside out. And I'm just making this up as I go along. And then it's time for me to really start making love to myself before I expect her to open herself up to me. Because at this point, I mean, I had a partner say to me words to the effect of, like, you're better than your behavior. You're better than this, you know? Like, you're smarter than this and what you're doing. And I'm just like, what? Because I didn't want to be smart. I just wanted it to be easy. I just wanted her to be, you know, always on the way she had been. And, you know, and I got really pouty about it.
Yeah,
which was great, you know, that really helped things.
I'm sure she was really turned on at that point.
Yeah, I'm sure it was more like 5 months later that we had sex, you know.
Yeah, and again, Melissa, you know, the comment that you just said, it really puts it in perspective on how important it is to always be making love to us in that, mm-hmm. like that foreplay aspect, because it's continuing to nourish the safety, because mm-hmm. it is risky for us.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, why don't I make a point about that?
Oh, yeah.
Sorry, go on, Melissa.
I just wanted to make a point that not every sexual encounter has to be long and drawn out. I think that what Aum Song is saying is that, like, the foreplay is just in the day-to-day activity. It's not as soon as the door closes in the bedroom and then you get laid down on bed. It's like the just the play with each other, and yeah, the touching and
caresses that just happen during the day.
Yeah, and then
Zoom, like,
call. I'm down for a quickie, you know, like, I'm good for a quickie. If all of that has been, like, really fun and exciting throughout the day, it doesn't have to be a long romantic fuck session. So. Anyways, make your point, Hans.
Thanks.
Mm-hmm.
I guess what I'm offering is a corollary to that, which is that although every moment with you should be that kind of deep honoring where you feel opening or foreplay, if another word, there's also time where we just want to, where we're not going to be with, because we're not always going to be on. It's not going to go on 24/7. But when we're together, then my job is to not take you for granted. My job is to, I'm attending to you. And if I can't attend to you, I say, Melissa, you know, I've just had a really stressful day today. I just need to go and, like, watch TV for a couple hours, or mm-hmm. I just need to go and do something on my own for a while. And just to be really clear,
mm-hmm.
but that when I am with you, I'm with you.
Yeah.
You know, so that's one of my favorite mistakes, you know, is like thinking that I can actually do two things at the same time, that I can attend to you and you know, look after my email at the same time. And all it does is piss you off.
It's like, you don't even, we'd be happy if you're just like, no, actually, I just need an hour to myself. We're like, yay, thank you for telling me that, you know, I'm going to see you in an hour, or I get you in an hour. And then you have to stick to it, right? Like, because if you don't stick to it, then you're in trouble. Then we can't trust your word.
Right.
If you continuously do that.
Okay. Yeah. We've got a couple of guys here. Let's see if one of them, if you guys, Matthew or Ryan, if you want to put up your hand to ask a question or to make a comment, please do so. And we'll just keep talking until we see a hand come up, and then I'll invite you in, okay? Oh, we got somebody with their, we got Ryan here. Ryan, can you unmute yourself and ask your question? And you can, if you want to come on screen, you can, but you don't have to.
Yeah, no, I was only just giving you a thumbs up that you said it was okay not to ask a question. Sorry. That was a thumbs up.
Thank you. No.
Okay. Well, nice to have
you. We're all confused here.
Thank you.
So Melissa or Amsong, do you have a question for anybody who's listening to this? You've got small handful of guys here who are probably dying to answer your questions, including me.
I guess I just wonder, like, what it is that you guys think we mean when we say we want your feelings, or we want to know what you're feeling. What do you consider when we say that? Because when I said that to my partner, I told him, you know, this is the topic. And then I actually gave him this quote that I was going to share from a men's coach that I thought was really controversial, but I think it's like worth talking about. He said, "Men, you become unsafe when you share your feelings with a woman because now she knows you're controllable." Mm-hmm. And I think that that's why a lot of men hesitate when we say the word feelings, because yes, it means now we have something that to hold over you. And first of all, if that's the case, then you're with the wrong woman.
Yeah.
And second of all, I think, Hans, you talked about that, where it's not necessarily words that we're looking for as much as just like hug, cuddle, touch, you know, just the feeling through your body. So even practices that men can do to sort of circulate the energy. Like, I don't even know if men realize that there are practices to circulate the energy in, and how that's like a daily thing. And just to make sure that, you know, you're, even for yourself, not for your woman, but just for yourself, it's healthy for yourself. So yeah, I don't, like, when I say feelings, I don't want a man that's like bleeding his heart out to me all day, every day. I love a strong, logical, critical thinking man. It makes me feel safe. But then, you know, I want to hear like, I love your energy right now. You feel so good. You know, like those kinds of words, like just those kinds of feelings too, the good stuff and some of the bad stuff, if you care to share it, but all of the whole spectrum of feelings, I want to hear it and feel it. So.
I know that one of my bad habits, or no. So in terms of polarity, or in terms of what will open her, and you just talked about things that you feel like open you, that make you feel warm. Mm-hmm. Me whining, which I may need to do, or venting or ranting, is not going to turn my sexual partner on. That's not going to be a place for her to open that way. I have women and I have men who I can do that with. But you know, that's a real sexual buzzkill. Like, you know, if you're just going to start whining and ranting at me, it's, or if I'm going to start do that with them, they're not going to want to fuck me. Yeah, they can feel me, but they don't, what they feel doesn't feel exciting or doesn't feel
juicy.
Feel juicy. No.
You're taking mode.
Right. So then I'm basically putting you, whoever you are, whether you're a man I'm talking to, or, and it's less so with a man, but certainly with women, mm-hmm. I'm putting you into that. I'm making you my mother, my sister, my mm-hmm. buddy, mm-hmm. other than my lover. And my beloved. And if I want you to be my beloved, then I need to do that stuff in a place where there's different kinds of energy. And I think for lots of us guys, we make the woman in our life everything. So, you know, it's maybe not as acute in the generation of men who I see on this call. But certainly in my generation, I know, you know, most of the guys that I know, or so many of them, have no significant relationship outside of their spouse. Mm-hmm. And that's too great a burden for her to carry. And it, because he's done that in such a way, he robs himself of his lover. He basically has neutralized that. You know, in lots of those relationships, they're fine, but they don't have that polarity of play as lover and beloved. And so when I see younger guys kind of puzzle this stuff out, it's, I mean, I'm glad that there are so many guys who are in men's group now and who aren't expecting their woman to be all that for them, but that still happens a lot. I thought it was interesting what you said about that quote from that coach. I can't imagine where that guy is going with that. It doesn't seem in any way useful. But I actually think it's really hard for us as men to share with each other for the same reason. Mm-hmm. We get into this really competitive space, and we're afraid to be vulnerable in that way, except with like maybe a couple of guys, if we're lucky.
Yeah, there's something very compelling to me about a man that can speak or share his vulnerability and just know that he's still a man, he's still strong, he's still masculine. Something so yummy about that.
Yes, very yummy.
So what does that look like? What does that yumminess look like? We'll leave aside what it tastes like right now. What does it look like?
I don't know. It's Well, I guess when a man is like consistent in, you know, making decisions and being focused and being sort of directional, and then he has a moment of vulnerability and he shares it with me, and maybe his tears well up or his voice shakes or whatever, and he still like shares it with me, it's, to me, it's like he knows that nothing can hurt him, or, you know, I'm not going to hurt him, or he's strong enough to be vulnerable. It's like, that's a real compelling strength in a man.
Mm-hmm. And that's what nourishes and feeds feeling safe.
Mm-hmm.
You know, that for me, that's where that yumminess is, feeling safe.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, and having a man that is present in himself and solid, and trustable. It's that, mm-hmm. that trustable, knowing that he is showing up, knowing that he is confident and he is strong and has direction, allows me to feel safe and soften into my feminine, to really open and be love.
Yeah, and there's actually like biological, you know, actual things going on when that happens for a woman. Like, it's not just like, oh, I feel safe and now I'm gonna have sex. It's like our parasympathetic nervous system like kicks in and we're not on high alert, because we usually are on high alert. Just every time we open up the door, we're looking for, you know, oh, that person or dark parking lot or. So when we get to drop in, like with our parasympathetic nervous system, then blood flows to our genitals. Everything starts to relax for us. And so it's like scientifically or biologically not possible for a woman to become aroused if she doesn't feel safe. Mm-hmm. So to understand how your woman feels safe is going to be like one of the most exciting things for you to figure out. And don't just do it just to have sex with her.
That's interesting. I don't know if you know the work of Stephen Jenkinson, but I just started listening to him recently, and he has this idea of apprenticeship, and he says basically this North American culture is not ready for real apprenticeship, because real apprenticeship is you go in with the object of learning something for certain reasons, and then in the process of learning those things, all of those reasons basically get whittled away and you're left with something you didn't imagine. And I just thought about this right now. So, you know, if I made it my mission to make her feel safe because I wanted to have sex with her, on the way to making her safe, if I was really good at it, all of a sudden that mission of having sex with her would disappear and something else would happen. And sex might be part of it, but it would just be so much bigger and deeper. I mean, and
I agree.
It's kind of why I call my current little path here is my apprenticeship to love, because most of what I have thought about as being important in a relationship, a love relationship, seems to be a lot less important than I thought it was. And in the process, I'm having this wonderful experience that 6 months or 3 years ago would not have made any sense to me. Mm. It's still not making a lot of sense.
It doesn't make sense to us either.
Yeah, right. So this is an interesting thing, because as men, we're always looking for like, what, like, how do we make sense of this stuff? How do we make sense of her? Like, what are the three buttons I need to push here? Mm-hmm. So that you can feel my love, because that's what you say you want to feel, so that I can have sex with you.
Mm-hmm. And those three buttons will probably change next year.
Or an hour, or...
Well, I think the reality is that the buttons are in me, and I need to start learning how to push them for myself.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And then on that journey, I'm going to have times when I'm going to feel a lot deeper to you, and you're going to feel me being a lot trustworthy, because I'm not just chasing your pussy. You can actually like be in the same room with me and relax. And I'm being a little more thoughtful and a little slower, maybe talking less. Mm-hmm. And then when I have something to say, it actually comes from a deeper place. And you can feel my body open and my mind kind of on vacation, because a different part of me is speaking.
Mm-hmm. Beautiful.
Which sounds, well, thank you, but it's really doesn't help the guy who is looking for like the fucking plan, you know? the three steps or the three buttons. So I guess what I want to offer is that one of the buttons is talking to other guys, like being part of a men's group and just talking about sex with other men. Because sometimes what we come up against, what we feel is like, I am the only guy who's not having sex with his woman. Mm-hmm. I see these other guys and their girlfriends and their wives, and they look so sexy. They must be having sex all the time. That's what my mind says. Mm-hmm. You know, and I see, and if I'm on Instagram, it's even worse, you know? So the first thing I think is just like talking to other men and getting a reality check on this stuff by starting to talk about sex. Mm-hmm. And another, something that I find a little bit distressing is, and again, maybe it's like, it's just part of the path, but so many younger men seem to be looking for techniques to, like, so like there's this whole thing on semen retention or how to stay harder longer, or, and I think, okay, maybe, you know, maybe if you do that stuff, eventually you'll be able to drop that stuff and get to what really matters. But our fixation with technique stands in the way of us actually being present with ourselves and with you. Mm-hmm. I experienced this in the kind of dance that I teach. You know, that Argentine tango is a dance. There's lots of technique, but basically you learn the technique so you can forget it and just mm-hmm. be present with the person you're with. So, you know, the second button would be relax on the technique stuff and just start finding ways of being. There are techniques for being present, but that might be a better place to put your interest in technique than semen retention or how to find her G-spot, those kinds of things. Any other kind of steps you guys might suggest?
Yeah, I mean, I think it's mostly that. I would say that 90% of arousal happens for a woman outside of the sexual experience. So if you're like, if you're thinking about technique, then you're really only working on 10%, and if that, so drop into who you really are. Just drop in. Just get in there and just be yourself and learn a couple of things, read a couple of books, and yeah, learn how to be like flowing your energy a little bit better.
You have any steps?
Well, steps, but what came to me when you were talking about men and men's groups is part of that is not necessarily even talking about sex, but having that support system so that as men, you're being nourished by other men, and so that you are getting that support in your life outside of relationship to really be able to show up and be present. Because that's a turn on in itself. That again also creates that sense of safety that allows a woman to really be aroused, knowing that her man is doing his work and is taking care of himself.
Mm-hmm. Yes, that's very compelling.
Yeah.
I have a question here that somebody sent in on Messenger here. It's a guy in his 50s. He's been married for 30 years. And he's living with complex post-traumatic stress injury. So obviously he's interested in the topic of sex, but he says basically sex has been a real disconnect for him. So... Mm-hmm. And he doesn't elaborate here, but you know, what are your responses, or do you have responses to that? What kind of questions would you ask him, or suggestions would you have for this guy?
Yeah, it would be very case specific, but I would suggest just not being sexual, but being physical with your woman, you know, just hugging and cuddling, like letting energy flow between you in that way, rather than it being like penetrative or actual, you know, like sexual.
Yeah, talk a bit more about that, because so much of our male masculine brain is about, you know, your pussy, your ass, your tits, your mouth, maybe your eyes, you know, how else can we be sexual with you that's not like that? Or how else can we be opening ourselves up with you in a way that doesn't, you know, shut down either one of us, because it's just the sex thing. Maybe just talk about yourself. Like what do you like in this 24/7 of foreplay? What are some things that you like that don't have anything to do with those parts of your body?
Well, yeah, I guess we talked about this in the beginning. I don't know if we're recording yet, but I talked about laughing. Like when my guy makes me laugh, it's like actually like biologically, like everything is relaxed, you know, like I'm like, okay. I'm not consciously thinking, oh, now I want to, you know, get it on, but my body is relaxing. So the more that you can be playful with her, you know, just playful and I don't know. I like to be touched. I like to have my hand held and massaged, but make sure that you're not doing it with an agenda, you know, like, oh, I want to give you a massage because I want you to relax. I want you to feel good. You know, like that should be as far as the agenda goes. And then if sex happens, yay for both of you. And if it doesn't, like, don't be like, oh fuck, well, why did I do that? You know? Even just the little like compliments throughout the day, or not throughout the day, but just throughout the week or whatever, just, and not even about looks exactly, but your energy, you're radiant. I just want to ravish you right now. I love watching you walk across the kitchen, or just knowing that he's interested in me physically is like a turn on to me.
Who are you? How would you answer that question? This guy?
Well, I would say therapy would be a really, sounds like therapy would be a really good thing. And then in talking about what we're talking about, because that, I mean, post with if there's trauma in his work into trauma, then it would be most beneficial for him to work on that himself, so that then he can really show up for her. But then to explore the beauty of intimacy and non-sexual intimacy. You know, one of my favorite things is just having someone come up and putting their hands on my shoulder, like coming up from behind and just being there. Like that allows my whole being to just soften. So I'm feeling held, I'm feeling him being present with me. And it's almost a sense of like feeling seen, even though I'm, you know, we're not looking at each other. And then that's where it's also really great to know each other's love language. What is your love language? And then be able to show affection from that place. Is it touch? Is it affirmation? Is it presence? And then play with that. Mm-hmm. Again, without pressure, without feeling like I need to do something. Just allow it to really unfold naturally, because you love each other, because you worship each other, and you want to be with each other. Again, that non-attachment to having an outcome. Mm-hmm.
That's like super hard for us. And I know for me as a younger man, that was like just, you know. I don't think it's just me. I'm pretty sure there's, but I like the love languages. Like that was something that I, you know, came into my life relatively recently. And I was reading it with this woman, but not for very long. We didn't read it. Because I just didn't get her love language. It was funny. I brought the book into the situation. So I was, you know, that was good for me. I'm proud of that. But then when I found out that her love language made no sense to me.
You didn't know what to do.
I didn't know what to do. But that book, so this fellow, if you're still listening, I highly recommend that book because if you haven't got this by now, that I mean, we haven't actually talked about this, but more and more, I think women are just basically, there's a beautiful book, but I can't remember the title.
You can post it in the chat.
But it, you know, like your experience of the world, the divine experience of the world is sensual, sexual. It's like, and it's so much more complicated and so much richer than most of us guys have any clue about. And having something like the Five Love Languages book is a good way to just start to learn that the topography of this thing called the feminine. And without it being, as you said, without it being about, you know, tits and ass and penises and vaginas and stuff, it's about expressions of love that. And if we go back to what I had read in the beginning, you know, this idea that, you know, how do we bring our fire energy to warm her water energy? And
it's the opposite. I think you were water.
Your water?
Yeah.
Your water. Yeah. How do we bring our fire to warm your water? And then just allow things to happen. And you know, that's a hard one, I think, for us guys to just allow things to happen. Mm-hmm. That's a big learning for me in these last few years is just, I can stop chasing I can let go of this goal orientation and allow things more. Mm-hmm. And if I, as you said, if I can relax into who I am and allow things to unfold around me, a lot of stuff just starts to show up the way I want it without me, in ways beyond my imagining, okay? In ways that I couldn't have imagined. Mm-hmm. And they're not always about sex the way I would have thought about it or the way I have thought about it, but it's about a really deep experience that when it does turn into some kind of sexual or almost sexual or different kind of sexual thing, it's it blows my mind actually.
Well, if we're recommending books, The Way of the Superior Man by David Deida will probably confuse you a little bit more, but it will also give you so much more clarity on so many things and bring you into a total new level of understanding of yourself and of women and polarity. And then follow it up with John Wineland and his work, and he'll help you sort of unravel everything, all the truth bombs that David drops in his book.
Yeah, I agree.
Great.
So we're at the top of the hour here. Just gonna give a last call to anybody who is on this call if you want to ask a question or make a comment. Now's the time to do that. If you don't have any questions, I just want you to do a little practice with me. And actually, I'll invite Melissa and Amsong to do it with me as well. So if we're talking about these energy centers in our heart and in our genitals, our sacral area, I want you just to put one hand in each of those places. If you're a man, putting your right hand on the heart, so you're putting the masculine side of your body on the heart, and you're putting your feminine part of you on your groin, closing your eyes, and sitting up straight, just to help move that energy between the base of your spine and the crown of your head. Just take a few long, deep breaths in and breathing into your belly. And then as your belly is nice and round and full, just pushing it into your genitals and holding it there for a count of four, and then relaxing for a count of four and moving the energy up to from your genitals up to your heart. As you exhale, holding it empty for the count of four, inhaling for the count of four down into a nice full belly again, pressing down into your genitals, holding it there for the count of four, exhaling up the front of your body, softening your belly, softening your heart. Holding empty at the top, feeling the top of your heart connecting to the energy above you, to the crown of your head, to the count of four, and then inhaling. And just continue that four-part breath. You're masculine, whether you're a man or a woman, however you're identified, holding your heart, your feminine, holding your genitals. Until we as men are able to hold our own heart and hold our sexual energy ourselves, we're a risky business for any feminine identified woman to mess with. Just think about how you can hold your own heart, hold your own sexual energy, and move that within your own body. Learning to trust yourself. Learning to become trustworthy, to become trustworthy with your own flow. And then taking a deep breath in. Feeling your heart expand into the rib cage, expand beyond the rib cage. And then relaxing the breath, relaxing your hands, opening your eyes. Thank you so much, Melissa, for joining us.
Thank you for having me.
Thank you, Amsong. Would either or both of you like to have some closing words?
Not really. I don't want to ruin the energy that you just created.
It's beautiful to be here.
Okay, so I think we're all here to help each other experience each other and ourselves and more deeply. So I'm just really grateful that you're part of this conversation, and to all the men who've been listening. I hope you got something here. I will, if you want contact information for Melissa or Amsong, please message me directly and I'll pass that on. And we'll be doing another show, similar kind of topic, similar kind of theme in a month. And next week I'll be doing another open mic on men's work. So I'll see some of you then. Thanks a lot.